My name's Deborah Dennis, and I'm Chief Executive of the Lucy Faithful Foundation.
So we've seen that the number of web pages allegedly containing the most extreme child sex abuse has doubled, according to a report by the IWF. Could you please just, in a few words, tell us your reaction to this?
I think the increase in severity of child sexual abuse images being found by the Internet Watch Foundation is disturbing. And I think it should act as a bit of a call to arms for us all, that we all need to think about online risks to children, and we all need to play our part in tackling them, in particular, working to prevent abuse from happening in the first place.
One thing that strikes me about this is that the IWF report says things like they're becoming more vulnerable to grooming and abuse by strangers, even in their own bedrooms. All young children left unsupervised with a camera-enabled device are at risk. Would you say that a lot of this child abuse content is, to an extent, offered willingly on the part of the child? Is that how it's working, according to this report?
There are all different types of abuse that take place online, and what the Internet Watch Foundation see is a range of abuses, which range from offenders being online directing children to do things, through to offenders just reaching out to children, encouraging them to share images, having sexual conversations with children online. I think it's very easy sometimes to focus on the high, what is perceived as high harm abuse, when actually anything that happens to children online around child sexual abuse is harmful, whatever range or severity or label we'd like to put on it. So what we all need to know is that there are exceptional risks to children online. The report does speak to offences that have been recorded taking place of children in their own bedrooms. So as society, we need to think about what that means in terms of tackling the problem. There are a range of responses that are required to help protect children, some of which is about parents having conversations with their children about what they're doing online and who they're talking to. But also we need tech companies to step in and prevent the uploading, downloading and sharing images of children. We need good education for children and young people about risk and what they need to do if they're worried. But also we need to intervene with the perpetrators and the potential perpetrators to stop them from offending in the first place. We can't just put the responsibility on children to protect themselves. We have to work to divert offenders from offending in the first place.
One thing that the report says is that it found 51,370 web pages. Would you say, what sort of percentage of what's out there would you say that they found in this way? Does that sound like the sort of number you'd expect, or would we be looking at this as just scratching the surface?
I think in terms of scale of the problem, it's very difficult to say. There is no baseline for scale of the problem for websites hosting child sexual abuse material. I sadly suspect the more you look, the more you will find. We do hear from law enforcement other agencies that this is the tip of the iceberg. We hear that abusive material in experiments can be found within 2, maybe 3 clicks. So sadly, it is widespread. The scale isn't fully known, but what we know is the risk is high.
You've said just now, of course, that we don't want to put too much of the onus on the children at risk of being exploited. But could you perhaps tell us a couple of things that children should look out for?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, because children's vulnerabilities online will vary child to child, and different stages of development, different ages. children themselves, I would advocate the burden shouldn't be placed on them to protect themselves, but they just need to be aware that the internet can come with risks. And this could be approaches from people they don't know, for example, on social media platforms, perhaps comments or direct messaging. But it can also be among their peer groups. So a third of child sexual abuse is committed by under 18s. So sometimes the risks aren't easy to spot. And one thing that we would always say to children is, if there is anything that's troubling you, talk to somebody about it. If something doesn't fit right, if something doesn't feel right, if there's something that has happened or is happening, do just find somebody you can talk to. And if that's someone in your family, fantastic. If it's someone at school or among your peer group, but never feel like you're alone.
The Lucy Faithfull Foundation works with law enforcement, of course. Could you tell us a bit about how, if a parent realises that their child is at risk, or worse still, has been a victim, what law enforcement strategies they could take?
But any parent who suspects their child may have been a victim of harm, that's a really difficult situation to be in. The first thing really to do is get some advice and support. So if you think your child has been victim, you can call our Stop It Now helpline. You can contact the police. Children's services will also be available to support the family. But in terms of law enforcement involvement, each police force will start an investigation, which may involve sort of looking at devices, gathering evidence, but also conducting interviews with your child as well. It can be a very difficult process to go through. So we would say don't do it on your own. We have some information on our website about parents who suspect their children have been victims of sexual abuse, and they can call our Stop It Now helpline for advice and support as well.
After reading this report, is there something that you would want changed on a government level or with the online safety bill?
I think the online safety bill specifically is very good. It will have an impact. Could it go further? Yes, it probably could in some places. And there are amendments being tabled around that in terms of holding tech companies to account for child sexual abuse images being on their platforms. The UK has a very good response to online sexual abuse, but that doesn't mean there isn't more we can do. There's always more we can do, and the online safety bill, the proof will be in the pudding as well when we see what sort of teeth, if you like, Ofcom are given to regulate some of what's contained within it. But it really needs a whole system approach. So we have statutory responses. We need responses from tech companies. We need responses from law enforcement. We need responses from education. And we also need responses such as ours, which work to divert offenders from offending in the first place. So I think there's no one single solution. And it's only by working collaboratively, bringing in clinical expertise, research, technical, will we do our best to protect children online.
Reading this report, and I want to be very careful about how I say this, it's very easy to see the perpetrators behind this as almost to an extent like a boogeyman or almost a demon. Could you tell us a bit about the sort of people who are encouraging children to commit these acts? Could you tell us a bit more about them so that we may understand them a bit more, dare I say, slightly humanise them, apart from what might be a overly demonic, perhaps, way they may be portrayed?
It's a really interesting point. So on reading this report, it would be very easy to get despondent about the problem, and that the internet is plagued by monsters and demons who are preying on our children. And of course, there are some very dangerous people acting online to sexually abuse children. What we see, though, is the volume of offending behaviour. If we look at the police, who are arresting 850 people a month for online child sexual abuse, that cannot be 850 monsters. This is people we know, people we love, people we work with, people in our social circles. And the pathways for these people to offending are very different for each and every individual. So there will be some people who offend who have an embedded sexual interest in children. There will be some people who offend who are married and have their own children, but have gone on a pathway from viewing adult legal pornography, the severity of which increases over time, and they become desensitized and they end up looking at indecent images of children. So there is a real range. I wouldn't want to get stuck on the idea that this is not a preventable problem, though. There are many offenders who, after offending, will feel guilt and will feel shame for what they've done. And those offenders are capable of change. And it's those offenders that we want to divert from their course of action and put them on a different pathway that doesn't involve harming children. Of course, there will be those predators who the police need to find, identify, arrest, and put behind bars. But of those that are being arrested every month, there are many more who can be diverted from their course of action in the interest of protecting children from harm.
And just quickly, could you tell us a bit about what those diversionary strategies are?
So one of the ways of diverting offenders from their behaviour is to put warning messages online. The internet needs to be more hostile to offending behaviour. It needs to confront people who are making searches for illegal material, and we need to divert those people away. So these would be warning messages that, for example, run currently on Google. If you make a search that would imply you're looking for illegal material, a message would appear that suggests you either report the material if you see something, but also you can get help to change your behavior. And these messages need to be in more places. They need to be on every platform where searching is enabled, and they need to be on social media sites as well. So it's putting in front of potential perpetrators and perpetrators the fact that what they're doing is illegal, the fact it causes harm, the fact that there are really big consequences if they get caught, and that there is help to change. And if we can intervene at that space, then we can reduce the number of offenders who are operating online.